Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ.
I've always been a closet lead guitar player.
Okay, that's all right.
But I played piano when I was younger. I picked up my dad's old 0018 Martin, and I used to go to my room and I learned chords off the Easy Guitar chord book until then I realized what sharps and flats were. I just learned on my own, but I wanted to learn songwriting on guitar, and then I started writing on piano and that, and I go back and forth, and I didn't have any training in drumming. And I think I mentioned it too, I had been in the high school cadet band, and I took a year of playing drums in the high school cadet band. I might be a drummer, but I have no rhythm when it comes to dancing. Yeah. It's terrible.
I know, I've been told that too. I can dance if I have a guitar in my hand. But if you take the guitar away, I can't.
I said I'd never be a jobber, because I knew that a lot of people would say, what band do you play with? Well, if you wanted to play on a consistent or full-time basis, you had to belong to a bunch of bands. And I wanted to get into something that was always working, so I worked with Rick Jones in the Alan Jackson tribute.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, and I did about 6 years with them. I played with various gigs with Randy Satchel as well.
Okay. Yep.
In between, Gerald Davison, the Country Versatiles, Diane Dittner, I played with Diane's band, and many others. And then the Barn Dance shows, I was working with them doing shows. Yep. I became the editor for the Barn Dance Journal.
Outside of music, are you working in an employment job during the day as well? Or
I was.
Full-time?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was working for a company, a small company out of Conestoga.
Okay, yeah.
And I was doing fiberglass and acrylic bathware repairs.
Okay, that's neat.
That was my day gig.
Yeah, well. I pay the bills.
My dad always said, music will never come a mess, but don't quit your day job. I produced about half a dozen country albums for people. Doug Dietrich helped me on one with a couple from Hensel. And I played on several. I can't even tell you how many records that I've played on. And a lot of it was older style country, but I likely got them because of my dad. And I have to, you know.
So, Grant, tell me about The Point.
Yeah, a three-piece band. We were doing everything from Steve Earle to all the classic rock stuff, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Bad Company.
And you're singing probably a fair bit of that, too.
Yeah, I was I shared duties with Pete Wilkins. He did some of the singing, and I did the lion's share of the singing. But we would do, as a three-piece, we could do Queen, like Fat Bottom Girls, or stuff like that. And with three-part harmony, it really sounded pretty good for a three-piece band.
Okay. And you're dragging around all the gear and everything back then? And
yeah, boy, I'll tell you, when you get older and you're the drummer in the band, thank God I'm not a keyboard player dragging around a B3.
Oh, yeah.
We did that once with Paul Stoffer in Full Steam, or Full House.
Yeah.
We played the turret room at Laurier University.
Okay, yeah.
There's, I don't know, about 10 flights of stairs to go up there, and we had to haul a B3 all the way up and all the way down. Oh, it was terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything these days now is light and small. It's amazing how you can't even hardly give away an amplifier or speakers now, you know.
Well, my dad had two twin reverbs, and I've sold both of them. They're vintage. One was 72, the other one was a 68, and I just sold the 68 last year. I was going to keep it, but if I'm playing guitar, I don't want to haul something that... I know they're great amps, and they're vintage and that, but they're so heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hard to handle, and I just thought it was time for them to go. I didn't have a use for them. I have other amplifiers I can use. And everything that's vintage doesn't mean that it's always great.
Yeah, okay, that's true. I got a whole house full of gear I'm trying to pare down because it's just too much stuff.
So you can get newer stuff.
Yeah, I guess. So the point, you're back to rock music from country.
Yes. The Desert Dolphins then was after that.
Okay.
The band with Simon and with the Point. Well, it happened the same time the Barn Dance. I got asked to be in the Barn Dance band.
Okay.
So we're talking about the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And the Barn Dance group had started more gigs, and I ended up going off the road with the tribute band.
Okay.
It was called Gone Country, the Alan Jackson tribute band. That was a great band. We'd play Ottawa one night, New York City the next. It was crazy. And we would do tours out east where we only had maybe two nights booked or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the way we played on a Mississippi gambling boat in Iowa. Just crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, you were asking about the Desert Dolphins. So at that time when I had finished up with the Alan Jackson tribute, I ended up being involved with the Barn Dance band, and through my dad, of course. It was Peter Patalino that asked me if I wanted to join Desert Dolphins.
Okay.
And a year earlier, I told him, I said, no, I can't. I said, my wife, we just had twin girls, and I said, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I said, I can't really do that right now. And they used Bob Richards on drums, who's a very good friend of mine. And Bob and I do a duo together.
Oh, really? You still do?
We're both drummers. He's a left-handed drummer. I'm a right-handed drummer. And we were going to call ourselves Drum and Drummer, but we thought that people wouldn't get it. So. But we've written a lot of songs together.
Okay.
That could likely be a whole other episode, because we're going in the studio this fall to record some of our originals.
I've been halfway around the world, never seen nothing like you. You can sing, you can dance, do you make sweet romance? All that's something that I'd like to know. So I sent you a drink and a note, and you smiled as you looked back at me. But I couldn't believe when you came onto me and you whispered right into my ear, hey gringo, get lost. Hey gringo, get lost. There's no way, Jose, and I mean what I say, I'm the boss. Now get lost. Got up out of my chair and I started chasing you down. Misunderstood, I'm gonna make good if you'll give me one last chance. When I caught up to you, well, you stopped and you said, there's a friend I should meet. He was big, he was strong, he was wearing a thong. And he said, as I made my retreat, hey gringo, get lost. Hey gringo, get lost. If you mean what you say, you'll play it my way, it'll cost. Now get lost.
Hey Gringo, it came out of nowhere. I think what we were thinking at the time is the high-tech people that work at BlackBerry, you know, they have the real nice cushy jobs and drive the Lexuses and and that sort of thing. Well, this is about a young guy that's single, and he's been working at a place like BlackBerry, and, you know, he's making lots of dough, and he's going down to Mexico for a well-earned vacation. And, of course, since he thinks that he's at the top of his game, he comes on to some young lady down there, and it doesn't work out as planned.
Okay.
And the women used to love this song, because whenever we played it, they'd get smiling and they'd be dancing to it, so we knew he had something. So,
okay.
So Bob's a good friend, and he's an awesome singer and a great drummer. I've known Bob for quite some time, and he was in the Desert Dolphins as well.
Okay.
in the latter half. But the Desert Dolphins, I think I mentioned we had a top 10 country hit with my song Dynamite, and we were nominated for a whole bunch of RPM Big Country Music Awards, including like Song and Album of the Year and Video and Producer.
That's great.
We were on stage with Shania Twain when CTV broadcast the awards, and she was standing behind me. We didn't have a chance in hell because she won all the awards that night. I was tugging on her arm. I said, "Get out front here." I said, "You won all the awards tonight." Yeah. And she said, "Don't worry about it, Grant." She says, "It's just an award show."
Yeah.
She was very humble, yeah. So that was kind of cool. But we went through changes with the Desert Dolphins. I had Bob Richards in the band, Bobby Becker, who's now in the Fog Band, and he was from Yukon originally.
Oh, really?
And Bobby's a great, great friend and a great player, too. I feel comfortable with people that I've known for a long time.
Yeah.
Peter Beacock was in the band at one time, too, and Peter's a good friend as well and an awesome player. Daniel Davies was a great guitar player. He was with us.
Hey, let's take a listen to Dynamite by the Desert Dolphins.
TNT. She's just like dynamite. That girl's like dynamite. Sure feels like dynamite to me. She's just like dynamite. That girl's like dynamite. Sure feels like dynamite to me. That kind of girl is got a passion for loving. She's everybody.
getting back to the Desert Dolphins, I took some of the guys in the band. We went to Nashville. Being a songwriter, I got to go to Polygram Records, and I wrote with Dickie Lee, who wrote She Thinks I Still Care for George Jones. Yeah. And I looked on the wall. He was also a co-writer for Brian White's Keeper of the Stars. Okay. So yeah. It was good company to be in. And I was down there for about 10 days, and Dickie and I started writing a song. And it was a Cajun tune called Friday Night in Lafayette.
It's a good tune.
Which I recorded for the Dolphins, but never... And that was recorded at Gary Hintz's studio. I did a lot of work at Gary's. And the Dolphins never put another album out, and it's still in the can, so I might put it on a solo album.
Yeah, no, it'd be amazing.
But when I was at Polygram Records, it was funny. I'm meeting Dickie and working with him. I came out front, and there was this guy standing at the front of Polygram Records in the lobby, and I thought, he looks kind of familiar, and I went up to him right away, and he kind of looked like a good old boy. He had coveralls on, and I went to shake his hand. I said, are you Costas? I said, I'm really pleased to meet you. And he said, yes, I am. He said, who are you? And I said, I told him who I was, and I was songwriting with Dickie Lee. And he says, oh, you're from Canada. I said, well, he says, hey, would you like to get together and write a song tonight? And I just about flipped, because we're talking about likely at that time the greatest songwriter in Nashville. Okay. He wrote hits for the Dixie Chicks and various big name people in Nashville. So he says, here's my number, give me a call tonight, and he says, we'll get together. I'm in Hendersonville, just outside of Nashville.
I heard of that.
So I called him, and he said, yeah, you can come over. He says, I just got a call from my, he says, my father-in-law is in Florida, and he's not doing well with cancer, and he may pass in the night. He says, I may have to fly out to Florida tonight. He says, but my flight wouldn't be till 10 or 10:30. He says, if you came over around 7:38, he says, maybe we'd get something done. And I thought, I just met the guy. Yeah. And I said, look, I'll take a rain check. I never did follow up on it.
He had a pretty good success with Dickie Lee, though.
Yeah.
And he completed a song that's a great tune.
Yeah, no, it was. In fact, we started writing something else, and then we morphed into that one. I don't know how it happened. And we did a lot of the writing over the phone. Hadn't completed the song, and he'd phone me up, and he'd have a new line or something, and that's how we put the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a listen to Friday Night in Lafayette. This is the song that Grant was just talking about. It's his original song. He co-wrote with Dickie Lee down in Nashville.
Well, I got my paycheck and it's 5:00. Heading for my pickup in the parking lot. I went last week and I'm going again. Burning up rubber across Interstate 10. Well, the Bud's ice cool and the band's red hot. Louisiana bells, I could dance a lot. I can hardly wait to get my face in a bowl. Salty crackers and shrimp Creole. Well, it's Friday night in Lafayette. Ain't nothing better now, you bet. If you're looking for me, that's where I'm at. If it's Friday night in Lafayette, fish are jumping over in the bayou. Twin fiddles playing on my radio. Whole moon rising and it's not far now. I can see the lights on the edge of town. Well, it's heaven on earth, it's étouffée. It's Dr. Charge you wear Sunday. It's every little thing when you get it just right. Hey, it's Lafayette on a Friday night. Well, it's Friday night in Lafayette. Ain't nothing better now, you bet. If you're looking for me, that's where I'm at. Well, it's Friday night in Lafayette. Ain't nothing better now, you bet. If you're looking for me, that's where I'm at. It's Friday night in Lafayette.
I'm Laura McMillan from Stratford, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
I got to know a lot of people in Nashville. It's like they say, Marty Stewart has a song, when they sweep up the broken dreams in Nashville late at night.
Yeah.
It's like the people that are sitting on the street trying to get noticed in that. It's a tough business. It really is. It's part of the reason why Desert Dolphins did well with the band and the CD, but we just, I couldn't continue on. I had to put, you know, $500,000 of seed money back into it.
Okay.
And even to break into the States at that time, you needed about $1.5 million. And I heard some recent country music singer that's done well out west. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he said...
Brett Kissel or something like that.
Yeah, I think it might be somebody from the Cora Blunn band. But
okay.
He mentioned, he says, if you want to break into the music business in the States now, you need $6 to $7 million.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah. I told our manager at the time, or our the guy that was financing the Desert Dolphins, we did two or three videos, and we had success with a top 10, and we had another one in the top 20. He said that I had to find somebody to invest. They just didn't see a fast enough return on their money. And I said, if I had $500,000, I said, I likely wouldn't be in this business.
For sure. Yeah, it's tough.
But yeah, the Desert Dolphins did well. We, radio, TV stuff, all the stuff that goes with it. We were at the awards one night, the awards program for Big Country Music Awards, and we were at the Harbor Castle Hilton, I remember. I brought Daniel Davies all the way from Vancouver. He couldn't get back. He drove from Vancouver back to Ontario. He drove as fast as he could to join the band because we had a record contract with Quality Records. And we're at the awards, and it's just like, well, there's Shania Twain and blah, blah, blah. And we had the dinner with Sam Snyderman, and I had... You know, this is all these. Yeah, and and he says, "Wow, this is great. We're really going places and everything." I said, "Yeah." Well, I said, "You know what?" I said, "Tomorrow night we're playing in Port Elgin at the Queen's Hotel." So I said, "Get used to it." Oh, he says it'll be packed. I said, "They're playing our song and everything." I said, "Yeah." I said, "We'll see." Get up there, it's like 12 or 15 people, and he's looking, he's all pissed off. He said, "Hey, what's this?" I said, and I said right to him, right there, I said, "This is reality, man." Yeah. I said, "Don't think you've made it already." I said, "It's not a big deal." I said, "We do this all the time."
Yeah, sure.
It's just what it is.
Well, that's the way it goes, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can never get too big a head about it.
No, but. And you still put on, hopefully you put on the same show in Port Elgin as you did in the Toronto the night before.
We did. Yeah.
Here's another track from the Desert Dolphins album, Hang of the Heartache. This one's called You're Only Romeo.
when the Desert Dolphins were together, and I thank Peter Patalino for asking me into the band. It was great. We had some investors. Bill Jeffross was the manager of Lulu. He brought the talent in. He's the agent for Lulu's Roadhouse, okay, yeah. And he brought them into all the big bands that came in there. Mm-hmm. And Bill was managing the Desert Dolphins and had a connection with a real estate investor who used to live in Waterloo. And he was worth a few million dollars, and he knew some other people that would invest in the Desert Dolphins. So they basically put $150,000 into the band, and we got Randall Prescott as our producer. And Bill brought them in to pay for the CD that we did, the promotion, and getting us on radio and the videos that we did. There's a big cost for that.
Oh yeah.
$150,000 may sound like a lot, but we ended up with a CD and a couple of videos.
Yeah.
When it came time to going to the next level, I had people ask me, why didn't the Desert Dolphins continue? We didn't lose momentum, but I found out that it costs so much money to get in the business. It costs about $1 million to put an investment in to get recognized in Canada. It costs double that to get recognized in the States, or even more. And I didn't have that kind of capital. I was a stay-at-home dad. My wife was working. I had kids at home. I couldn't mortgage my house for a dream that I had. And I realized that I understand why some people get off the train then. And I have no regrets about it. Why should I? We had a top 10 record. I had top 10 with Hooples, and I was grateful. It just cost too much, and I knew that I would lose my family over it. And that's why.
Well, I had a burning desire to always play music. I've had friends of mine say, are you still playing music? You know, I thought you gave that up. Meanwhile, in the back of their head, they're likely thinking, gosh, I wish I never gave it up.
Yeah.
I come by it because we're a musical family. But even more than that, I do it because I really enjoy doing it. I enjoy trying to get better at playing and singing.
Yeah.
And keeps your head on straight.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. And it's just, it's exciting. Like maybe it's Thursday morning and you think, geez, you know, tomorrow night I got a big show coming up and you, something to look forward to, and you know, a reason to get up in the morning and shave.
Well, it can be difficult when you're doing shows, and now I'm doing a lot of shows like with Cheryl or Chucky or the Barn Dance or even Cracker Jack. You have to learn all those songs. In some instances with Cracker Jack, I already know them.
Yep.
But in other instances, they may throw something at you. Well, every Barn Dance show is different. The artists are all different on there. So you have to learn that material right away. And I hate it when things converge, when you get, you know, one gig on top of the other, and it's like a full weekend, and you've got to know like two or three different shows.
Yeah.
I play in a duo, and I play with some other guys. Greg Deckert from Listowel is a keyboard player. He's well known in the area. And I, over the years, I played off and on with Greg in some blues bands up in the Walkerton area.
Yeah.
Well, people will ask me, said, how do you learn to play drums? I played military drums in the high school cadet band.
Yeah.
And I learned from there. But basically, I learned from listening to everything, like
all
kinds of music. I like all kinds of music, as long as it's done well. But people say, how do you play drums? I said, well, I put pictures of the people I don't like on the drum heads and then just beat them.
Crazy. I bet you've missed a ton of, this has happened to me over the years, I've missed so many family events or weddings and stuff, because I'm booked at a gig and then somebody's, there's a family member getting married or something. And
That happens. You really can't, you know, depending on the situation, you really can't change it, because you're holding up a whole bunch of other people. It's like sometimes you're interchangeable in bands. They say, well, we can get somebody else. But in bands where Cracker Jack...
Well, with your singing too, it is because
now you either have to get a drummer and then get a separate vocalist or whatever, because not everybody sings and plays an instrument.
So if I could ask, how many different projects do you have on the go right now, like currently? It sounds like there's at least... Four, right?
Well, I didn't think I'd be busy in the COVID era, and at first I wasn't. And I got talking to Fred Smith, who used to play in the Cats Roadhouse band out at
Lulu's.
And Fred's a Hamburg grad. He does a lot of studio stuff. He even does stuff for Disney and that.
Yeah.
But he's a good singer and songwriter. He even builds guitars. He's involved with a project that I'm involved with now. I got a call from Stuart McKee, who used to be a roadie for Hoopoes, but he's also a musician. And he was managing a couple of sports bars in the area. He asked me if I'd be interested in doing some recording at Fred's. And he wanted to do some collaborating and songwriting. So we've written maybe four or five songs together, okay. And we've laid down some of the stuff at Fred's studio. And we just recently did a video for a song contest on radio.
Okay.
I think they were giving away $20,000. It was supposed to be a summer type theme. So we did one of Stuart's songs, and we did it on the back patio deck of Fred Smith's place and set everything up and did it live. It was great.
That's great. Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
Dancing on sunshine, living on cheap wine, feeding me all kinds of thrills. I wanted a lover who won't blow my cover, but I never bargained for this. When you're walking in my shoes, feel like you can't lose. No clouds in the sky, only blue. I've been on winning streak, week after week, since I've been living with you. You get me so high, wanna come down. Yeah, I'm touching the sky. You must be leading me on. I never felt this way before. I'm feeling 10 feet tall. If it's a dream, then don't wake me. Just let me enjoy a little more. Well, with you I'm not lonely. You're the only one. You're always making me smile. And late in the evening, after the day, we'll have some fun for a while. I'm always running, going and coming, but your love is making me stay. I could break free, but I'd rather be holding you tightly each day. Touching the sky, you must be leading me on. I never felt like this before. I'm feeling 10 feet tall. If it's a dream, then don't wake me. Just let me enjoy a little more. To show what you need and what you know. So hold on tight and don't let go. Get me so high, I don't wanna come down. I'm touching the sky. You must be leading me on. And don't wake me, just let me enjoy a little more. Yeah, I wanna get high.
Some of the best gigs are just the seniors' homes and the Legions and stuff.
You know what? I only started doing this a couple of years ago, playing for the seniors. When we were younger, you say, why are you doing that? If you were younger, you say, oh, I'm not doing a gig like that, you know? Yeah. And it's like my dad saying when I played with my rock band at the Port Elgin Casino, and I said I wouldn't play with him the next day on the beach at the band shell. My dad says to me, he says, so you don't want to play country music with me on a Sunday? And I was a teenager, full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
And he says, I can tell you right now, he says, you'll make double the money that you made in your rock band, he says, on Saturday night. So he says, if you don't want to play, oh no, I'll play with you. A little dose of reality there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Here's another story too, and I think I said this about my dad being in Philadelphia. And I found out, I got an email from a person in Baden, out of the blue, nobody that I ever knew. And they said, I have something here that might belong to you. And I thought, what's this? So I contacted the woman, and she says, we bought some books in Zurich, Ontario. That's where my mother is from. My dad met my mother over the telephone. My mother was a Bell telephone operator, and my dad liked her voice on the phone, and they made a date, and then they ended up getting married. Where's the story going?
The lady from Baden that gave you a call.
Yeah, the lady from Baden had called me. I contacted her. She says, I got some books from Zurich, Ontario, where my mother was from. And she says, they're addressed to your mother, Martha Haywood, and they're from your dad. They're postcards. So I went down to see them. She says, these are yours. And I read them. And they were just prior to when I was born in 1951.
Wow.
And these postcards said on the back of them that my dad missed my sister Patricia and my mother Martha, or my mother who's Martha Haywood. He said I can't wait to get home. He was in Philadelphia trying to make things go with his career in the States. He was in Nashville and living with Bill Haley and performing and doing different things. And I just couldn't believe that I had received these postcards. I said, you know, these postcards are likely worth money. They're so old. And she says, no, they belong to you. And I thought that was an interesting story.
Kind of a snapshot to the past that you never otherwise...
Oh, isn't that great?
I gave them to my mom and she cried.
Oh, she would have. Yeah. She would have. That's how I feel about all that stuff.
Yeah, it was just emotional.
It brings you into that space, doesn't it? That personal space.
Yeah.
The only way to get steady work is to get good at your craft.
Yeah.
And singing drummers aren't a dime a dozen, so that was for my benefit that I could sing. I could sing backup harmony. I can sing the relative third, or I can sing the high fifth if I have to in situations. That I really got a lot of... I have to credit Major Hooples for that.
Yeah.
Plus, I went to the Ed Johnson vocal coach in Hamilton for a year and a half, and he was awesome, so that helped me immensely.
Okay.
But yeah, I ended up... I was playing... jobbing for different country bands, Randy Satchel, a recording artist from Mitchell. Randy's got an excellent voice and a wonderful man too, and always appreciate being on stage with him.
Yep.
Diane Dittner again.
Yeah.
I on occasion Diane would call me to play. I just got a call the other day from the Country Versatiles. Oh, Gerald Davidson.
Okay. Yep.
Gerald's from Woodstock. He's a great guy too and great singer. In fact, I was their drummer for about 8 months or so, but And I just said, I can't keep doing this all the time. I've got other things I want to do.
Yeah.
So I ended up with Cracker Jack, and that came about when Danny Monroe, an old friend of mine, bass player for the band, he used to play in a group called Strange Brew from Kitchener. So he was hanging around the corner at the time, too. Out of the blue, he gave me a call and said, what are you doing? We need a drummer in the band. Well, their drummer that they had at the time plays with Saga. And it was Brent Derner, who's originally from Helix.
Yep.
And he's a world-class musician. He's an excellent drummer. I said, if I join the band, I said, you won't be getting a Brent Derner. I said, I can play, I can keep up with the best one, but I said, I'm not that good. But I said, I can sing. And he says, that's why we want you. And I said, great.
Okay.
So I kind of balked at first because I had so much going on, but I ended up playing with them, and it's been 10 years
now. That's great.
So there's Mark Diatalevi, who's the keyboard player. Mark's a doctor. Tom Elliott from New Hamburg, who's the lead singer, and he plays guitar. Tommy's a wonderful guy, good singer. And I've known Tom for a number of years. And then we have Dean Utsi, who's playing bass now for us. Okay. And Barry Klein from Tavistock.
Yeah.
Good guitar player. He used to play with Cheryl Lescombe at one time. He's a great guy. And he sings backup too.
Okay. It's a five-piece band, right?
We were a six-piece band at one time, but the bands went through different changes in that.
But for sure.
I enjoyed playing in the band. I saw an opportunity here because the band had lots of talent, and we ended up doing a lot of stuff that they maybe wouldn't normally do or they didn't do in the past. We do Three Dog Night, okay. Doobie Brothers, Eagles, Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Yep.
And we'll do some out of the blue one-hit wonder type stuff, like Blues Image doing Ride Captain Ride.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's nice to be in a band where there's no friction or attitude in that. We all get along really well, and we enjoy what we do. And the band has gone to a pretty good level locally and got some notoriety.
Yeah.
So, we've played some theaters, actually, with Cracker Jack Palace.
Okay.
We had Danny's from Bancroft originally, and for a seven-year run, we would play a concert up there. It's only a 200-seat theater, but we'd pack them in, and we'd stay up for the weekend.
Yeah, go fishing and whatever else. Yeah,
we'd rent a cottage, and spend the weekend.
Yeah. I think I met Danny when I was probably 19 or something. I think he was in an AC/DC cover band or something.
Band.
This goes back 30 plus years.
Danny's a very persuasive guy, and he's a good friend. He just opted out of the band as of the end of last year.
Yeah.
And partly because he's spending more time in Florida in the winter, and he has a place in Bancroft. He has a place in Baden too.
But,
I've been for 16 or 17 years now. I'm also the president of the local in Stratford of the American Federation of Musicians.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a long time and helped negotiate contracts with theater people, theater musicians, and local musicians.
Where do you have, I don't even know how you have time for all that stuff.
Sometimes I wonder. I'm always at home. I'm coming and going all the time. Yeah. Plus, I have, you know, some renovating projects I'm doing.
Well, no wonder you don't want to get into the home recording because you got too many other.
Well,
leave it to somebody else.
Yeah, and when you put that hat on, then you should be in that space, because it takes a lot of concentration to do that sort of thing to make it sound right.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of guys know their equipment better than I would if I'd be a little green at starting it now. But I think I'm going to do some more computer recording and start doing it at home.
Good for you.
Yeah. I still have my analog tape deck.
Yeah.
That's reel to reel.
Yeah.
This came out of the blue. I didn't expect to go this far with it, but I'm doing a song from Led Zeppelin 3, which is an acoustic song called That's the Way.
Okay.
So I've laid all the guitar parts down and a ghost vocal. Some mandolin parts and that.
That'd be wow.
Getting different people in. Doug Dietrich's going to play steel, and Stephanie Martin Smith's going to sing harmony back up. And
so you put more of a country feel to the Led Zeppelin song?
No, I'm keeping it pretty much towards the original. I'm just enhancing it a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
Because there was originally steel in it. Jimmy Page played steel on it.
Yep.
So that's kind of fun. I may end up using it in on my solo project, which I'm currently working on. Trying to put my songs together to see which ones will fit, because country people will say, well, all you do is country music, which isn't true, and then they will, some of them will just kind of look at me strangely and say, why, you play rock and roll too? Well, I play rock and blues, and I've even played a couple of jazz gigs. And,
yeah, it sounds like you've done a little bit of everything.
I just like to play, and I like to play with good people. I mean, we all like to get paid fairly for it and that, but hey, it's great therapy.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
I've been a songwriter since my early teens, and maybe something we haven't touched on much, but one of my songs, and I don't know if I mentioned this, made the title track to Rick Norcross, a friend of mine from Vermont.
No, I don't think you meant that.
Okay,
seen that at all?
I got to know Rick Norcross in Lowell, Massachusetts. I was down at a conference, music conference. He came over and introduced himself, and he has a Western swing band out of Burlington, Vermont. And Rick's an old folky. He used to come up to Toronto and play on the same stage as Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and people like that back in the day in Yorkville.
Okay.
And he'd tour all over Europe as a folk artist and had some notoriety. He started this Western swing band, and they're all great musicians in the band. And he was on his sixth album, and I got the title cut on his sixth album called Green Mountain Standard Time. I think the album might have, it was up for some awards, I know. In,
I think we have that right here, actually.
Yeah, we do. It won was up for some awards in the Western Swing Awards in Houston, Texas, along with Shane Gousset's band, the Western Swing Authority.
Yeah, very, really good
band. I felt like I was in good company there, because I know Shane and the band, they're a wonderful band.
Everybody in that band is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen them at Maryhill. I went out there the one night to check them out. A great band.
I've been a lucky man most of my life. I've been places that most folks never see. Traveling on the road, riding my guitar. Sure keeps a young man looking lean. I sailed across the ocean to the land of Big Ben, playing my music all the time. Sure felt good to get back to the mountains of Vermont and sing in Green Mountain Standard Time. Green Mountain Standard Time, where it never ever snows and the sun it always shines. That's the way I'll picture it for Standard Time. I spent a lot of time in that sunny southern state, singing and riding my guitar. of all those music stars. Writing songs and hanging out with some of the best. What a time to be alive. Sure felt good to get back to the mountains of Vermont and sing in a Green Mountain Standard Time. Green Mountain Standard Time, where it never ever snows and the sun it always shines. That's the way I'll picture it forever in my mind when I'm on Green Mountain Standard Time. I've got a Rambler band. Make me proud. They're the wood, I seem to be the glue. No better feeling than singing my songs about our life in Vermont with you. It's all about the journey, at least that's what they say. From Hardwick, it's been a long, long time. There's an audience for us. We'll load up the bus and sing in Green Mountain Standard Time. Green Mountain Standard Time, where it never ever snows and the sun it always shines. That's the way I'll picture it forever in my mind when I'm on Green Mountain Standard Time. That's the way I'll picture it forever.
I've been busy, you know, like I said, songwriting and in the studio and that, but to actually do some live live gigs, that's what you miss the most.
Oh, yeah.
The interaction with people. Yep. And it's hard for musicians because they're the ones taking the biggest hit right now and they don't make a whole lot of money.
Yep. No, nothing.
That's been another thorn in my side is the streaming of music on radio. At least one time you could be guaranteed 2 or 3 cents a record every time you had record sales.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why a lot of bigger bands, even the dinosaur bands like the Eagles, and they go out to perform, you can't get a ticket, you know, sometimes under $300 or $400.
Yeah, for sure, because that's what they have to make.
And then it goes up from there. Well, the reason why they command that ticket price is partly they're in demand, but the other part is they don't make, a lot of them don't make CDs anymore, and even if they do, it's a calling card because they don't make any money off it because streaming services now have taken over. And a lot of the streaming services are bought with shares from record companies, which really bothered me because Doug Johnson always says, in Canada, we eat our own.
Yeah.
I'm sure this goes well for every other country, but what I mean by that is that the record companies really don't care about the musicians that they're promoting. They would rather get a bigger take. It's all about the bottom line.
Yeah.
So now it was recently that Peter Frampton came out and said, yeah, I got over 1 million streams on Spotify and I got paid $15,000. Well, that's a pittance. Spotify made millions off of that.
They probably, yeah.
And
all the subscription fees and everything.
Yeah, and it's sad for musicians to have to go through that because now a lot of them don't want to record, and it puts that industry into jeopardy.
They have to be on the road all the time to make any money.
Yeah, they have to hike the ticket prices to compensate for the lack of sales. Yeah. And it shouldn't be that way. Don Henley was recently at a congressional hearing about the streaming services, and he said, I'm in the twilight of my career. He says, we've had a good career with the Eagles. He said, we've made lots of money. He said, I can't have no complaints. He says, my greatest concern is for younger up-and-coming musicians that won't have the same opportunities as we did because the industry is against them. The very industry they're trying to get into is screwing them over.
There was a local guy like that, Danny Michelle. I don't know. You probably know that name.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's but that he had an article in the Waterloo Region Record saying exactly the same thing. He has to tour constantly because he doesn't make anything anymore off his his CDs, or he can sell the CDs where he's playing, but his music is, it becomes almost worthless, right? Because it's all electronic, right?
It is, and it's sad that it's gone that way. I do hope it comes back, but it's not just the recording industry. People in general are having a hard time, and now with this COVID thing, it makes it even harder. But it shouldn't be that way. That's intellectual property, and it should be paid as according to the laws. That's likely why some people are ticked off at SoCan, because they don't have enough clout, or they won't do something, or the musicians union. We get calls about that too. Well, really, this is a legal matter.
Yeah.
They're illegally just they're setting the parameters and saying this is the way it's going to be, which is wrong. It doesn't have to be that way. So it's really politicians that have to say, like when they put the CRTC thing in, they should say, "Hey, this is an industry here, and this isn't right." Because I know that they have been the government and SoCan and various organizations have been overwhelmed with emails and people getting in contact saying, "Hey, you got to do something about this."
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Stay tuned for the fourth and final episode with Grant Haywood on Musicians FAQ, which should air sometime in November. I can't believe it took 3 one-hour episodes to finally get through the many decades that Grant has been performing. The fourth episode looks at what Grant is doing today in the Waterloo Region music scene. He's discussing many songwriting projects with different performers and several bands he's involved with, such as working with Chucky Zaire and Cheryl Luscombe, Stevie T., Fog Blues Band, a Woodstock tribute, and a Janis Joplin tribute. He also slips back in time a little bit, reminiscing about playing with Canadian legends such as Tommy Hunter and Al Cherney. Next week, we have part two of Diane Dittner's musical journey. I'm excited about that one. I hope you can listen in. Till next time, it's Steve Todd. Thanks for listening in to Musicians FAQ.
I'm Grant Haywood from Wellesley, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio, waterloo.ca.